The reading this evening is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13, and this can be found on page 1154 of the Church Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening. What a marvelous celebration this evening. How lovely to be part of this part of God's family. I wonder how many clubs you've joined in your lifetime. Hands up if you've ever joined a club. Okay, hands down. Hands up if you've ever joined a gym. Hands up, keep your hands up if you still go to the gym that you joined. Okay, hands down. I used to be a brownie a very long time ago. I enjoyed it for a while, but eventually I got distracted by Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack was a children's TV program that was on Friday afternoons at 5 o'clock. It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. It's... Well done. And 5 o'clock was unfortunately when brownies met. Cracker Jack won. I've joined exercise classes and gyms for various durations with very good intentions and high hopes. Most have turned out not to be as inspirational as I needed them to be if I was going to see the kind of transformation I was aiming for. Still working on that one. I started an A-level correspondence course when I was in my late 20s, but I never finished it. I've still got the materials if anyone wants an out-of-date A-level in human biology. I can never throw anything away. Most of those activities had some kind of joining ritual. I seem to remember something about standing in the middle of the circle and reciting the brownie promise. I'm sure that flower pots came into it somewhere, but that may just be my sister-in-law, who actually got expelled from brownies for kicking the flower pots against the wall, apparently. When I went to join a gym, I had to go through an induction meeting where they showed you how to use the machines and the weights so that you didn't kill yourself or anyone else. And then I think when I did the A-level, I had an introductory interview to see if I was a suitable candidate. They obviously got that wrong. I didn't really stick with any of these things because they relied on my effort, self-discipline, and commitment. If I wanted to belong, I had to earn my place in one way or another. So that brings me to baptism. If you Google baptism and you find yourself on the Church of England's website, actually, if you're a vicar, maybe you should just go to the Church of England's website first. But I like to Google. The headline is Baptism, a Response to God's Love. So today, we've had this opportunity for Chloe, Elliot, and Jenny to share their decision to follow Christ publicly. But it's more than that. It's not a joining ceremony that they've had to do in order to belong to God's family, although we do welcome them as they take that step in their faith, choosing baptism or to reaffirm those vows. It's not a test to see whether they know enough to be counted as Christians, whether they're able to pray responsibly for others or to wield their Bibles in arguments. It's not even an interview to see if we think they'll fit in and have the ability to succeed. It's a choice to acknowledge in a tangible way a spiritual relationship, a relationship that's all about love. It's an opportunity to respond to the love that God has shown us. So what is this love that we're thinking about? Well, I want to start by thinking about what God's like. From my experience, and I think probably from the experience of many, many people in this room, we found him to be patient, to be kind, protective, trusting and trustworthy, truthful, hopeful, one who perseveres. God never fails. He may not do what we expect him to, but he's eternal and faithful to us. He knows everything that there is to be known. He could do a biology A-level any day he chose. He even knows our secrets, our deepest, darkest, hidden secrets that we hope no one else ever finds out. And despite all of that, he wants the best for us. He cheers us on when we do well. He picks up the pieces and puts them back together when we get things wrong. He never puts us down, bullies, or makes fun of us. He never loses his temper with us. This awesome, lovely, generous, brilliant God looks at us and loves us. He calls us into his family and he leads us in his ways. So how do we respond? Well, we can respond by trusting him with our lives. Chloe and Jenny and Elliot have all spoken about that relationship that they feel that's growing with God and within the church family, with other people. And relationships need to be based on trust. When we trust him with our lives, he can do something amazing. To be baptized is symbolic of the choice to die to an old life and to be born into a new life. That's why water's used. Water was the symbol of chaos. These three have gone right down into the water. I think in the liturgy it actually spoke about the grave. Did you know that's what happened tonight? You effectively went down into the grave, and we are so glad that you came back up again. When we come back up into that new life, into that new birth, being born again, we come up into a new, fresh, clean life. A life in which we rise again, as Jesus did, and in which we can look to him for everything we need. Now, we aren't born as fully developed, independent human beings. As someone who's given birth twice, I'm quite pleased about that. Little babies are bad enough. We take a couple of decades to reach maturity. And as Christians, when we choose to follow Jesus, to be born again, when we accept that love and that life that he offers us, we don't suddenly have all the answers, nor all the maturity to face every challenge in a perfect way. It takes a lifetime to grow up as a Christian. In fact, we'll only reach that full understanding and knowledge when we meet Jesus face to face, when he comes again, or we go to be with him. So how do we make sure that we grow strong and healthy? I've got a picture. Could we have my first picture? Okay, that's a mountain. It's the Matterhorn. And if you want to get to the top of the Matterhorn, you're going to have to be very strong and very healthy. You're going to have to be very brave and committed. But to grow as a strong and healthy Christian, it's not about what we do. We heard in that reading that we could speak every language there is, human languages, spiritual languages. We could hold all the knowledge that's known to mankind. We could have the faith that can move mountains and compassion and self-discipline beyond reproach. But unless we have love, these have no value at all. We can rise to the top of our game in our studies, in work. We could be people who are famous for our faith or good deeds. Or we might even be people who have the discipline to break records in sport or to be the world expert in our field of knowledge. We can reach the top of society, the top of that mountain. And if we got there, we would have, we'd be at a very high altitude. Next slide. Altitude. Okay, look at that word. Think about it. It's about being high up where everyone can see you, where the world can look and go, yes, look at them. They've got it. And yet Paul in this letter says, you can be right up there and it will mean nothing if you don't have love, if you haven't received love, and if you don't live with love. We all love to know that someone loves us, don't we? It's a really lovely feeling. It's great to be on the receiving end of love. Can we have the next one, please? So these are some of the things that Paul talked about, what love is like. Love protects. It doesn't delight in evil. It's not self-seeking. It always hopes. It always trusts. Love never fails. It doesn't boast. It rejoices in the good. It's not easily angered. Now, I love working as part of a team. And I love it most when other people demonstrate these qualities to me. And boy, do I demand them sometimes. I'm the person who turns up as the service is starting with the PowerPoint that's not going to work. And still, I get a smile. I'm the person who arrives and then says, I didn't think I was going into the water. Matt, you don't mind doing that, do you? And Matt goes, no, of course not. People are patient. They are kind. Sometimes they are very long-suffering. So, God wants to see his love reflected in our lives. This happens in relationships. Chloe, Jenny, and Elliot, the relationships that you will experience as you grow as part of the church will be wonderful gifts to you, and you can be wonderful gifts to others. God calls you to be patient with irritating people. He calls us to show love that's kind when we're tired. Love that appreciates and rejoices with others when good things happen for them, without feeling envious or greedy. Love that always looks for the best in everyone. That cares about the other person's well-being more than our own reputation. Love that searches for truth. Love that never bears a grudge, however justified in doing so we may feel. Love that forgives and never gives up. God is looking for the how in our lives, not the what. Here's the big reveal. Can we have the next picture? It's not about altitude. It's about attitude. God's not really that interested in how high we rise. He's interested in how much we love. And if you look very carefully at that word, you will realize that it's almost exactly the same. The thing that makes the difference is the cross. That L turns into a T when it comes into contact with the cross. Our desire for altitude can turn into a desire for the right attitude when we come and meet Jesus at the foot of the cross. That's where Jesus demonstrated his tremendous love for us. Baptism is just a response to that love. It's wonderful to find people who've come to that point of going, yes, I want to be identified with that love. I want to see that love grow in my life, not just to watch it in others. But we can't do it on our own. We need the love of those around us to support us. And at the beginning of our service, we promised that we would support these three young people. And that means that we should be praying for them, at least for this week. What were those words we said? People of God, Helen asked us, will you welcome these candidates and uphold them in their new life in Christ? How can we uphold young people in their new life? Well, by demonstrating that love, by being patient, by being kind, by forgiving, by always looking for the best. How different our world would be if everybody did that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we know you love us. We see your perfect love shown to us in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. When he took the blame for our mistakes, our sins, our selfishness. When he chose to take on his own shoulders the things that would separate us from you. Thank you that you call us to respond. And we pray that you would help us to be people who are not so concerned about altitude in our lives, but who are prepared to put in the work to develop an attitude of love. Lord, lead us in your love, we pray. Amen.